Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Achtung Millwall supports the Lions Food Hub. This is a friendly local food hub. It's based in Bermondsey. It's run by our very own Kelly Webster of the Millwall Lionesses, a very well-known Millwall fan. They do need supplies, dear listeners. Before we get into the show today, I have posted they need tinned meat, they need toiletries, they need soup, they need tinned fruit and veg. If you can help in any way, they are on Twitter, at Lions Food Hub. DM them. You can DM me at Achtung Millwall, and I'll pass on any help and information that we can. Lions Food Hub, at Lions Food Hub. Thank you for listening. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to Achtung Millwall. My name is Nick Hart. And let me begin by telling you something of the angst that can bedevil the life of the average podcaster. I set out today to give you a really nice interview that I did in the aftermath of yesterday's 1-0 loss at Vicarage Road, speaking to Oscar, Watford-based journalist with Millwall sympathies. And as much as I've tried and tried and tried, the Skype interview I did in the immediate aftermath of yesterday's game recorded my voice, didn't record Oscar's. You can hear about the faintest reply that he makes to my questions. Unfortunately, there just isn't sufficient oomph in the recording for me to play it to you. So you've got me as a solo act. Thankfully, Oscar did supply me with a nice little clip from Gary Rowett's post-match interviews from the press conference after yesterday's 1-0 loss at Watford. So we're going to begin with listening to Gary Rowett's views on Millwall matters and Millwall life in general. Let's go over to Gary Rowett now.
Yeah, but you know, we had a spell. We had three games. I missed three games because of all the stuff. And we had about six or seven players that got it, and we had to come back and play very quickly after we lost that game. We were miles off it physically, which you'd expect. We had two players broken their feet. We had two broken toes this season. We had two dislocated shoulders. We had countless situations where you wouldn't expect to be in that position, but we've tried to get through it. And we'll be stronger for it. I think we're two or three players away from being a really, really good side. And then when all our injuries are back and we do some business in the summer, and I think that's credit to us. We still have a chance of, we finished eighth last season. We still have a chance of finishing in the top 10 this season. We're only a point or two out of it. And for that, I think the players deserve it. Yeah, look, we brought in Troy Parrott, we brought in Kenza Hall to give us that extra little bit, and unfortunately for different reasons that might not have been available for very large spells, so therefore even Ken today coming up, he's not really fit, not match fit, we'll just put him out there, see if he can get us something. We've had a lot of misses, I think, lots of Hutchie out, lots of Ryan Lennon down, Matt Smith in the last 20 minutes, to get put something really different on the pitch. I'm sure you got on the end of one of those crosses today, so. But it is where we are. A lot of teams have suffered. It's been a very, very unusual season. We've still got two games left, and we want to try and finish them off strong. We've had four games now where we knew the four games were really, really tough. To play the likes of Swansea, the likes of Brentford, Bournemouth, Watford. We've had four out of five top teams, and maybe it's just at this stage of the season with a lack of options, just been, you know, a little push too far. But again, I'm proud of the players that have done really, really well at times this season. Final two games, I'd like to get them out of the way quickly so we can concentrate on the main event, which is we want to win games, you know, we don't want to be too experimental, but you know, just different ways of trying to play. We went to 5-2-3 today, we pressed a lot higher. I thought it worked quite well at times, but with a good size hot day like today, it's very difficult to maintain that for long periods. But like Hayden comes on, he'll benefit from that experience. Tyler again, Danny, Billy, more games, you know, so it's four products of our academy that I think, you know, they're going to go on to a bright future. But against the side like Watford, very difficult to win the game in that scenario. But yeah, we'll try something big last two games and just keep pushing to see if we can win more games, finish the season stronger. But if we get more injuries, we've got more players, so they're going to have to start. I think me and Adam might be playing centre-back. That will be an interesting experiment that I'm sure that neither of us will particularly enjoy.
Achtung, Mehlball.
So there we are. Rowett quite correctly identifying the injuries that we've sustained. I know every club in this division will have sustained injuries over the course of the campaign. We do seem to have had some fairly severe ones, which has actually blighted the squad in the course of the difficult season. I think it's also worth mentioning that we entered yesterday's game. The season being a dead rubber now, you know, just three games before we started yesterday, two games now to go, up against a side that were looking to seize their chance to go back to the Premier League, which of course it did work out that way for them. But the, you know, entering into the game, it's worth noting that the Hornets, as Jake Sanders posted here on Twitter, the Hornets had the best home record in Europe, in European football, home record, and they'd won their last seven. Vicarage Road, scoring 17, conceding just once. He described it as a monumental task going into the game, and so it was. It certainly seemed that way on the back of the very poor display against Bournemouth in midweek, described as being on the beach by Gary Rowett after that game. Well, yesterday's game, we were not on the beach, and I'm grateful to be able to say that much, because like all Millwall fans, all that you really look for is effort, and it's a minimum expectation that we expect from our side that they go and give their all. They didn't do that on Wednesday, but they did yesterday up there in Watford. So some changes, three changes to the side coming into the game yesterday. Marlon Romeo replaced Alex Pearce, surprisingly, taking a position in the back line of defence, in the back three. Not seen him there before. I thought he did really well yesterday. Tom Bradshaw started up front for the rather lacklustre Kenneth Zohor, mentioned by Gary Rowett as not being fit. He's not been fit for much of his tenure at Millwall. Mason Bennett started in place of Ryan Woods, who was actually sat in the terraces, or in the seats. You don't have terraces anymore, dear listeners. Sat in the seats on the sidelines watching on. He was on the bench yesterday. He didn't take the field at all in the course of yesterday's game. So the Millwall starting 11, Bart Bielkowski in goal, back line of George Evans, Jake Cooper captaining the side for the first time, I believe, yesterday, and Marlon Romeo in the back three. Either side of them in the wing-back positions. On the left, he had Scott Malone, Danny McNamara. A midfield two yesterday, Billy Mitchell, Michael Kieftenbelt, and then up front, the three of Mason Bennett, Jed Wallace, our go-to man every time, and Tom Bradshaw. Now, initially, I've got to be honest, I thought we were going to be in for another pounding after the first 20 minutes of proceedings yesterday, which included the penalty, which looked a good shout on 9 minutes, 1-2 on the right side of the penalty area. And Lewis Saar, very good player, number 23, very, very good looking player. We'll come back to the likes of Saar and some of the other Watford players later, but nice move on their part on the right side. Billy clipped him. I think I've seen Gary Rowett describe that challenge as naive. Certainly caught him. It was a good penalty. And put away quite nicely by him for 1-0, straight down the middle. Bart went to his side and the ball was just put straight down the middle. And at that point, I'll be quite honest, I think like many of the viewers, such as there were online, I thought we're in for a cricket score, dear listeners. Free header just a few minutes after that 1-0 start for them. Bennett conceded a free kick on the right. A free header was allowed, saved by Bart. Some defensive panic, I thought, there. We were just a little bit, looking a little bit edgy at this point. Another beautiful move on 17 minutes. Slightly overcooked in the end in front of goal, shot wide. And as the commentators, Max and Carl, welcome back, chaps, after that private Fraser type that we had in the week. Welcome back to you both. You described it as relentless pressure at this point, 17 minutes into the game. A breakdown, a riot, a pace. We really were seeing the very best that money can buy in championship terms. We saw it on Wednesday, but we didn't really put up any real resistance against Bournemouth. We did resist as best we could in this opening phase against Watford, but my word, as Ray Wilkins used to say, my word, they were good. Pace, movement and passing. We really didn't have much of an answer and we were doing well to cling on to the game. But in fairness to this side, and I think it's worth saying this, we showed good steel, good recovery, because as the first half wore on, after that initial first quarter phase, shall we say, slowly, slowly, we clawed our way back into the game. Bradshaw had a chance on 23 minutes, shot wide. Difficult chance, as memory serves. And gradually, we started to close matters down. No more chances for Watford in the remainder of the first half. And in fact, the best chance, in all honesty, of the game, from our point of view, on 35 minutes, which was a great shot by Billy Mitchell. Very well saved by their goalkeeper. And then Bennett, I think, clipped the crossbar in the ensuing melee, which allowed a corner. Really good chance. And we were doing well to get ourselves back into the game. So as I say, no more chances for Watford for the remainder of the first half. And the Lions slowly, slowly started to get a grip, get a hold on the game. Great to see. And so it continued after half time, still 1-0 down, obviously. But no chances, really. Some attractive football at times from Watford, but nothing worth noting in my notes watching the game yesterday. Opportunities, in fact, for the Lions. Some early opportunities for Bradshaw, then a nice dribble down the left for Bennett, and some nice play. I mean, as the kind of first part of the second half, the third quarter, if we like, of the game were along, I thought we were actually getting a grip of the game and starting to look like we might dream of getting something out of it. We dodged a bit of a bullet on 60 minutes, a penalty shout. I've seen them given, different referees. The referee was a little bit erratic yesterday. You could hear Gary Rarrett bawling him out for inconsistency, and I make him right because that was to our benefit there. They might have felt aggrieved on the Watford side of the fence at that penalty shout. But as the half wore on, increasingly the game stretched and Watford did start to get chances and shots late in the half. We saw it through, and I think it's worth really praising this Millwall side because, you know, we were up against it. Monumental was the right word described by Jake at the start of the game yesterday. And, you know, to basically, even though the game stretched towards the end of the second half, let's put it this way, I thought we were defensively still solid, pulled a little bit here and there late, but overall, it was a very strong Millwall performance. One or two late half chances. Jed put the ball across the Watford penalty area on 87 as they were getting tense. It was ticking down to them, getting automatically promoted to the Premier League. And then Keefton Bell shot over very, very late in the 88th minute. Couldn't make a dent on the scoreline. It finished 1-0. Which led to celebrations on the Watford side for promotion. But overall, I think that was a good team performance. I want to pick out a few names. I thought Romeo did very well. He's my man of the match. Out of position, in a central kind of central back position, I thought he did okay. Billy Mitchell in midfield. After a little wobbly start, I think the giving away the penalty slightly got in his head a touch. But overall, that was a strong Billy Mitchell performance. I also want to mention, I mean, obviously Jed and Bennett but gave their usual good performances, but I also want to mention Tom Bradshaw, who's not been picked very often. Some might criticise his lack of finishing, his lack of clinical kind of skills in front of goal. I don't think you could, in all honesty, say that yesterday. I know we didn't score. but he put a lot of work in there yesterday. And it's good to see him in a role in the starting 11. And it wouldn't surprise me to see him starting the last two games of the season, though, because I thought he actually did okay. A goal would be, you know, major boost to his confidence. But it won't surprise me to see him starting up front. Certainly, in contrast with the injured Zohor, attitude-wise, Zohor, I don't know. I think maybe Zohor is not the answer for us. I also want to mention some good performances. I was watching Hayden Muller, who came on late, about 75 minutes onwards. Did well. I watched him particularly. We haven't seen much of him. And, you know, he had a few moments to impress. Made a couple of good challenges. Positioning, passing, he looked pretty good. I would really like to see Hayden get a start in the next one or two games. He did well enough yesterday to generate that chance. Let's hope that Gary Rowett sees it the same way. Tyler Bury did well also when he came into the game. But my man of the match for me yesterday, based on his performance, Marlon Romeo. So let's take the chance now just to listen to Michael Avery's voicemail that he sent me yesterday. He also watched the game. So I'm going to switch over now to Michael.
Hello.
So 1-0 Vicarage Road. And I will be brutally honest. I was a little bit apprehensive about buying this game after the debacle that was in the midweek. I still think, even now my head's cleared, that midweek wasn't particularly good from our side. But I wouldn't say I was happy to purchase today's game, but it was certainly a lot better than the midweek. And considering the amount of players we had out, to only lose to a now proven Premier League team, only 1-0 to a penalty, isn't too bad. I did think the opening sort of 20, 25 minutes we were right under the cosh. If there wasn't a few swipes or a few mislaid passes by Watford, they could have been out of sight. But I think we settled well into the game. It was nice to see Bradshaw actually have a few moments where he looked pretty good. He looked pretty sharp. I'm not sure what's been said to him behind the scenes. And I just do think it was a bit more organised. It was slightly better. It was good to see Cooper taking the armband. I thought he played well. And also Romeo on that right-hand side of the back three, which was an unusual choice, but I thought he did very well. I wouldn't say there was massive, massive amounts to talk about, really. You know, Millwall were the better side at times throughout the game, but I feel it was quite even. It was just unfortunate that, as I say, we had so many of our key players out or a number of our players out that could have arguably changed the game if they were there. Two more games to go, as Mike Hayden says. We're nearly there. We're nearly at the end. We know we've got a rebuild to do, but strength for that performance. It wasn't too bad. I have to say, this final comment, I'm not sure about you, dear listeners. Please tweet or message Nick, not me, if you agree, disagree. But Mill just don't do mid-table boring football, do we? We need to either be pushing for promotion or fighting relegation, because these 10th, 11th place finishes, they are a tad dull. Come on, you lines.
Achtung, Mehlball. Big thank you to Michael. One or two comments from the internet. I know it was a dead rubber of a game. Not many watched it, I don't think. There wasn't a huge amount of comment about it afterwards. But I've picked out one or two of the best ones in my humble opinion, dear listeners. Dan says 1-0, last story of the season. We just can't score. Good Championship team up to the forward line. Get a couple of forwards in during the summer and we'll be fine. Agree, forward play is going to be key. And we look pretty solid. I mean, I think that was the point that Gary Rowett made in the press conference, that overall we've got a pretty solid team. We do need to up the flair of the movement and the pace. That's been the difference in the last couple of games with the decent sides, Bournemouth and then Watford. That's where we've fallen short. Andrew MFC, 13 efforts on goal, says Andrew, and only two on target. Sums us up this season. It's hard to imagine us kicking on with our budget. This is probably as good as it gets for us. Well, this was one of the points. I'm really sad I couldn't resurrect the recording I made with Oscar, because one of the points I was making with him, that we may have to sell to generate money to buy. I think this may be a thing. So who knows? Our crown jewels will be Jed, will be Jake, and who knows, possibly Hutch. I don't know. Of those, I think Jake and Jed will be the most valuable players for other teams. We may need to start to think seriously about selling to buy, dear listeners. What do you think? Hopefully not, of course, but we do have to look at the budget. We will come back to the budget question shortly. Graham, can't fault the team today. Definitely deserves something out of the game. Agree with Marlon, man of the match, says Graham. Jake Sanders posted, God knows how Ismaili Assar is playing at this level. Ismaili Assar was signed, according to Wikipedia, I don't know how, you know, solid this is, but signed in the Premier League by Watford for £30 million, £30 million. He's rating on my favourite nonsense website, transfermarket.com. He's probably some boy sat in his bedroom. It's £18 million. It wouldn't surprise me. He did look a different level of striker yesterday. But £30 million, dear listeners, I know that's the, you know, that's the level that they play at in the Premier League. But bloody hell, that's, you know, that's the problem. That's going to be the hook. We'll come back to that on in terms of before we close out. Matthew Nash, Marlon was very good on the right of a free at the back. Just that cutting edge, as ever, which led us down. A valiant effort, says Matt. And we bossed the game for an hour, really. Mitchell and Jed ran Romeo closest men of the match. John Fenton, Bradshaw has not been given a fair crack of the whip this season, and he never moans, says John. Has he been given a fair crack of the whip for you, dear listeners? I don't think... I quite like Tom Bradshaw. You know, he was busy yesterday. I take the point that as a number nine, he's got to be clinical, but he didn't get the chances. Finally, Tony Monday praising Romeo as an unpopular thing. He made two fantastic last-ditch blocks today. He's a proper player and underappreciated by some. I make that right. I make Tony Monday right. Just to give a sense of... I mean, you probably know this stuff already, so forgive me if I'm telling you what you know already, dear listeners, but I took a chance just to have a quick look at some of the values of some of the players that, on occasion yesterday, looked really, really good. And we're actually kept quiet for large chunks of that game yesterday, just to give a sense of how good the performance was overall. We meant Ismaili Assar, so I've got his first name. I think I called him Louis Assar. I don't know who that is, Louis Assar. Ismaili Assar, £30 million he was signed from Rennes in Ligue 1 in France. I just had a quick. I didn't do many of these. Will Hughes was the blonde. Midfielder signed for £8 million, £30 million, £8 million. Kiko Femenia, Spanish player, £3.6 mil. Mark Navarro, Spanish forward, Mark Navarro, €2 million. João Pedro, Brazilian, £9 million. And so it goes on, so it goes on. This is a kind of opponent that we're going to be up against. We can't change that. And perspective is never an easy thing in the midst of the heat of a football match. But that's who, that's the level of player that we didn't bring our A game to the game on Wednesday and we got punished for it. We did bring our A game with a very makeshift 11 yesterday, and that's the level we kept quiet. So I think it's worth praising a very strong overall performance despite the defeat. And there'll be some people screaming at the speakers, "No, we got beat," and irrational reactions to this. But we were playing against a side that was very, very expensively assembled. Then we did well, in my humble opinion, dear listeners. So there we are. That's going to be the end of the first half of this rather strangely put together show. I'm going to come back after the break with a nice interview I did the other day with a Millwall fan, also Notts County fan, Steve Sanders, ordinary bloke on Twitter. I'll be back right after these messages.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to another edition of Achtung Millwall. Joining me on this special midweek edition, it's a special guest, a good friend of mine. For some years back, I remember seeing you, Steve, up at some Northern Away Day a good few years ago. We said hello. It's Mr. Steve Sanders of Notts County and Millwall. There's a combination for you, Steve. How are you doing, mate?
Yes, I'm doing absolutely great. Thank you, Nick. Nice to speak to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't remember which away ground it was that we met at. Was it Barnsley or was it?
No, it was Shrewsbury away.
Shrewsbury.
The first game for Millwall in Division One when we've been relegated.
Absolutely.
I saw this man talking into his phone or a microphone. First I thought, strange fellow, and I thought, hang about that, must be Nick. So I came up and introduced myself.
Well, at least you didn't ask me if I was old Bill or a grass or I don't know what I get accused of being when I'm doing that. It's such an eccentric thing to do, but people think all sorts of things about me. But no, we went to Shrewsbury. I could not remember for the life of me which ground it was. I just knew it was a far-flung point away from London. Steve, it's a fascinating combination to be a Notts County fan and a Millwall fan. And you did me a wonderful article a few years ago from No One Likes Us magazine outlining just how it was that you came to have a soft spot for the Lions. For the listeners, I just wondered if you could relate that story to the wider public.
It goes back a long way, and I've been following Millwall results ever since. It relates back to 1976. It was the first game of the season of the 76-77 season. I was a young lad then. I was only about 14, and I was just started to be allowed to go to football on my own. And I got a season ticket at Notts, and we played Millwall first game.
Okay.
Millwall bought about 1,500 fans, and they were behind one goal. The county fans were behind the opposite goal. I was on the side, and after 58 seconds, Millwall went 1-0 up. That's a good start to a season, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And about 500 Millwall fans immediately set off on a mini pitch invasion running across the pitch. Most of them fell over three times, I think, on the way. I think they've been there in a few of the Nottingham pubs beforehand. The Notts County fans didn't want to know and scattered long before they got there. And then Millwall took the Notts County end. And I remember being really, really annoyed, to be honest.
Yeah.
So annoyed that our end had been taken and so easily. But it sort of had an impression on me, and I've always looked out for them ever since. We've all got teams probably that we look out the results for. And since that date, every time Millwall's played, I've looked up the result and seen how they've gone on and hope that they've done well, because I really wanted to be one of the Millwall fans on that day, to be honest with you.
That's a wonderful story. I love that story. I remember you did a great article, and I remember reading it thinking, this is fantastic stuff. I mean, younger listeners need to know that this was a thing, that if you could get into the other team's home end in the era of terracing, the same era that you and I come from, Steve, this was a big deal. And
it was a big feather in the cap, wasn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and they definitely got it that day.
And obviously some grounds were harder than others, and Notts County unfortunately didn't have a reputation, which is probably to their long-term benefit, and we did, which is to our long-term, I don't know what, I go around in circles, benefit and detriment. I think you can argue it both ways.
Yeah.
When's your first game at Notts County, Steve? When was your first
game at Notts County?
Yes,
it would be about, I'm having to guess because I was very young, it would be about 68 or 69. And
okay.
Notts County 0, Brentford 0. one of the worst games ever. My dad, bless him, he was he watched Notts County Forest, but he was a Notts fan. And he took myself and my brother to a Forest Sunderland game 1 week, and it was 2-0 to Forest. They beat Sunderland. It was a cracking game. Really enjoyed it. And then a week or two later, he took us to Notts and Brentford. And he said to us, right, lads, you've got to choose who you support. And we both said Forest. And my dad went, well, if you want to support Forest, I'll take you once, maybe twice a year at best. If you want to support County, I'll take you every week.
Right.
And me being not as clever as my brother stuck to it and carried on being a Forest fan. Me being not so clever, I gave in to the lure of regular football.
The emotional blackmail.
Yeah, changed my mind immediately to Notts. And I always tell people, you know, my brother's obviously the cleverest one because he's been to 2 European Cup finals and League Cup finals and FA Cup finals, and I've been to Grimsby and Boreham Wood. So who's the fool?
Wonderful, wonderful stuff. I mean, I think another thing just to say to, again, younger listeners is Notts County are, they're the oldest professional football club in England. I know they're not in the Football League. I still think of them as a Football League club, Steve. I think that it's...
Yeah.
You know, it's the pyramid system is a wonderful thing, but I think they're on loan to the National League and deservedly a Football League club because of their history and stature. But I mean, this is a substantially, you know, trophied in the past, going back a long way. But I mean, Notts County were a major name in the game.
FA Cup winners, one of the original founding teams of the league, which has been in the news quite a bit this week, one of the original founding members, and a lot of history. And we were, as you say, the actual title was the oldest remaining league club. There is one team that's actually older, it's Sheffield FC.
Of course.
Which is not Wednesday or United, it's a current non-league team.
Yeah,
they're the oldest team, but we were the oldest remaining league team. And when we fell out of the Division two seasons ago, we lost that title. And what hurts it more than anything, there was a little bit of an argument between Stoke and Forest who that title then went to.
Yeah.
And they settled on Forest, so they've got our title. So
they've got it until Notts County.
Yeah. But in fairness to Forest, I mean, we used to use it as a marketing tool, the world's oldest league club. It's written on the shirts.
Yeah.
So it used to be. But Forest have left it alone because I think they realise that probably one day we will be back and they'll have to give it up, and it's probably a bit disrespectful to steal our thunder.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, I Notts County were regular opponents in my formative years of Millwall through the Division 2 days and then at some point in Division 3, I think, as well. It's funny enough, it's a ground I've never been to. I've been to Forest a couple of times, a few times over the years. I've never been to Meadow Lane. One of the things we're just speaking off air, Steve, about what we might do, and I thought one of the things I might do at some point is get up to Nottingham to go to a game at Notts County. It's just one of those places for some reason I just never got along to. So maybe
it's a lovely ground. I mean, we used to say when League One we had the best ground in League One. Then we fell to League Two, and I think it was almost definitely the best ground in League Two. And it's we're non-league. And it's,
best ground in non-league, mate, I'll tell you that much.
It's without doubt the best ground, which the saying now probably works against us because it's a bit of a sort of a Wembley-like appearance, you know, for lesser teams that come. I say lesser teams, they're equal to us now, but smaller teams, and they play up, and it's probably the best ground they've ever played on, and it's sort of their big occasion where it's just run-of-the-mill for us. So it might work against us now.
Well, a visit to Nottingham is always an enjoyable one. I mean, we were just talking about the cricket, Forest's ground, obviously, with its own history, and Notts County with its own standing in the game, and the River Trent and the pub life and all the rest of it. And I suppose it does work against you rather because it's an event game, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the cricket and the two football grounds are all within, 5 or 6 minutes walk.
You can see them, can't you? Yeah.
And like you say, there's lots of nice pubs. It's the nicest part of Nottingham, without any shadow of a doubt, that the grounds are actually in. I know away supporters do enjoy those, and you get a lot of stay for the weekend, make a weekend of it, and I don't blame them.
Notts County, since, you know, decline and fall, so to speak, and it kind of coincides with the financial shenanigans that we've been hearing nothing else but the European Super League and which oddly includes Juventus, the wearers of Nottingham, Notts County's black and white stripes. You know, financial mismanagement did for Notts County, didn't it? Really, it was almost a classic overreach.
We got tuck in. It was the 2010-11 season, I think it was. And we were bottom division. Then all of a sudden, this Monto Finance came in and they said they were going to make us a Premier club. We signed Sven-Goran Eriksson as our manager.
Right. Remember that?
Yeah. He came in originally as head of football, then he was the manager, and that was like a dream come true. Yeah. We signed Sol Campbell.
Yes, remember that.
He played 40 minutes of one game and decided he was going. Because I think, to be honest with you, I think he saw through it and saw there was no money. Yeah. We were linked with Mancini coming as manager. But Sven has said since that he actually rang Mancini. He worked out that there was no money and it was all a con. And he rang Mancini. He was supposed to be coming the next week. And he rang him and told him not to bother coming. So we could have had him as manager, and there was talk of us signing Beckham, Roberto Carlos, Figo, and I'm not joking, these were names that were being bandied about,
yeah,
and that we were supposed to be buying because we were, you know, we'd become the money team, because this Monto Finance were wants to use as an experiment and take us into the top division, which would never have worked anyway. You throw all the money you want at Notts County, but even when times are good, there's only 10,000 of us support them that go. And you don't change your team. Forest get 30,000 going, but they're not going to go, oh, Notts have got the money, I'll go and watch them. That's not how it works, is it, Nick?
No, football attracts this world of shysters and fraudsters and God knows what else, Steve, doesn't it? And, you know, it's been an interesting thing to watch the European Super League's kind of... you know, fall and rise and fall over 2 days, because it never ceases to amaze me how the world of football attracts these people. I mean, obviously, this is like a billionaire's rich man's scam that they put together this week to try to take control of European and potentially, I guess, world football if it really went the distance. Mm. And somehow it trades on the kinds of things that you and I take for granted, the history of clubs, the kind of authenticity of, you know, you said there 10,000 Notts fans will turn up. I don't know what they're like in the National League, maybe a few less there, I guess, but still you're going to get thousands of fans showing for a club that they've loved all of their lives. And these people are like vultures, and they come in and, you know, like the people that have done this to Notts County, they suck it dry. I'm wary of regulation because we all know that government and laws really, you know, rarely do much good. But I can't see any alternative to the government stepping into this situation. You can't have gangs of cartels coming in and almost running off with your game. How do you see the situation right now, mate?
Well, you know, when it was first announced, my first initial thought, which I don't agree with now, but my very first thought was, good riddance, go then if you want to go.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Liverpool, Man U, Arsenal, Spurs, the Chelsea, they win everything, don't they? They win everything.
Well, what? Chelsea, Arsenal and Spurs don't, but yeah.
Yeah.
But, they'd love to.
We almost know that the FA Cup and the League Cup finals is most of them, and the League Championship or figure one of them. I mean, I know it's the sort of dreamland probably for Millwall to get into the Premier, but what will they do in the Premier? They're not going to come top, are they? I'd love them to, but they're not. We know they're not. Just like when you get Fulham in the Premier or West Brom, they know they're not going to come top. I think the nearest we've got is Leicester. Watch a one-off there? Because I mean, Leicester are
they're kind of nearly club now. I mean, they couldn't repeat the feat because it was circumstances allowed them to become rightful champions. I mean, I think it's one of the great stories of football, Leicester winning the Premier League. But it stands out because it's so unusual. And your point, I think, that you're making there is a valid one, that you know who's going to win. You know, it's going to be Manchester City. It's going to be Liverpool now, probably United if they can get their act together. Chelsea maybe. And that's kind of going to be the top four. Mm. There's no unpredictability.
My initial thought was, without them, we could have the seven of the better championship teams in the Premier. Then who wins? Well, it could be anybody then, couldn't it? It could be anybody.
I would like to see that. I mean, I'd love to see there being a rebalancing, whatever term you want to use to describe it, of the game. Because, you know, we're talking about Notts County, we're talking about Millwall. I mean, both have been clubs that have had shots at the top level. And it'd be wonderful to think you can at least get into the top level and have a chance of, you know, we when we were in the first division, we went top in both seasons. Well, yeah. You know, it'd be nice to think that you can at least have an outside chance of that. Whereas,
yeah, well, Notts have been up there twice during my lifetime.
Yeah,
We were in the top division the year before it became the Premier. We were relegated that year, so we literally missed out. The first season was at 92 of the Premier. The season before, Notts have been in the top division. We've been there for 2 years. So we just missed out on all the money, which is a shame because we might be a different club. Even with just 1 year's money, Nick, we might be a different, completely different club.
And some decent management, off-field management, because I think that's often the key to, you know, you see a lot of clubs now, Bolton are languishing in League Two, your own Notts County, National League. There's others, you know, Pompey have had their decline and fall. And it's often down to that kind of mismanagement, chasing after dreams that are unattainable off the pitch. Mm. I suppose that's football. Did you ever get to Coldblow Lane, Steve, in your time? Did you ever come away?
No, I didn't. I would love to have gone, but I didn't. No, it's one of my regrets, definitely.
I remember Notts County beating us at Coldblow Lane. It was a rainy day, and it all crowded under the halfway line. I'm sure it was 5-2. I'd have to check that result. It's just come into my head, listeners.
We did have a big win 1 year, didn't we?
I think it was 5-2. Yeah. I was there and I thought it was crushing loss.
I remember Notts losing 6-0 there as well in 92, was it? They lost 6-0?
Yes. That was a heavy.
It was a good thrashing that day.
Heavy thumping. Who's your all-time favourite player, Steve, for Notts County and for Millwall? We've got a double horse in both races here.
Now you're asking. Notts County all-time, the best player we've ever seen. I would say it was a local lad called Pedro Richards, who was our right back in about 76, 77, 78.
Right.
He was a local lad, born in the Meadows, which is the area where Notts County's ground is. He sounds Spanish, but he wasn't. He was West Indian origin. A little slightly built fella, and he gave his all for Notts, and he was Notts County through and through. And the only player, he was the only team that he ever played for. And quite sadly, he died in his 40s, a bit of an alcoholic in a hovel flat in the Meadows, which is a sign of the times that they played in, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his Wikipedia. It's not a name that was familiar to me. Pedro Richards, 1956 to 2001, an English footballer who played in defence for Notts County. And as you say, passed away with a rare strain of pneumonia. So that's a sad story.
And I think for Millwall, I can't say anything other than Neil Harris, really. Neil Harris, yeah.
Good choice. He was an absolute ruthless finisher. Again, a lot of younger listeners won't have seen him in his prime, in his pomp. When he first came to the Den, I thought we had one of the real finishing talents because he was on the brink of a transfer to Liverpool Spurs, I think. Both were interested in him in 2001. And then obviously he was diagnosed with the cancer, and that kind of put the... the kibosh on his career at that level anyway. A great finisher. Steve, your favourite all-time match, favourite Notts County match, and let's go for your favourite Millwall match you've ever seen, TV or, live. Right.
Notts County match, it wasn't a high-scoring one. I think it was 1991 season. FA Cup fourth round, I think it was. Notts County won, Manchester City nil. There's plenty of videos of it on YouTube if anybody wants to watch. Our goalkeeper, Steve Cherry, gave a masterclass in goalkeeping.
Yeah.
The ball at one point hit the back of him, and then onto the post, and he managed to turn around and pick it up. We should have lost that game 8-0, and that's not an exaggeration. We should have lost the game 8-0. The ground was absolutely packed with Man City fans. They got tickets for all four sides.
Yeah.
And we stuck a goal in, which was literally just a tap in from 2 yards into a virtually empty net. to make it 1-0 and silence the lot of them. And I absolutely loved that game. Loved it.
There is nothing like that. I mean, it's the beauty of football, isn't it? It's that I'm thinking back to the Millwall 3 Everton 2 game a couple of years ago now. You know, the atmosphere being electric, like night game in that situation there. And as you say there, you know, the kind of tilting at the giants of the game or the big boys or whatever you want to put it.
Yeah. And my favourite Millwall game, I want to go back to the game just before the lockdown at Forest.
Okay, yeah.
We're thrashing 3-1, wants it.
Were you there that night, Steve? Were you
Yes, I was, yeah. I wouldn't miss Millwall. Like 10 miles from my front door, no way. Yes, I was in there that day, and I mean, it was a great game to watch. It was probably against the run of play at the time, against run of form.
Yeah, it was.
And it was against the Reds, and I like that.
How do you see Gary Rowett as a neutral, but you know, you're one step slightly outside the...
I know of Rowett probably more than the Millwall fans before he came to you because of our local connection. He'd been at Birmingham, which is fairly local to us. Yep. He'd been at Burton, which is very local to us. In fact, I think that's probably the nearest ground to my house where I live. Mm. And he'd been at Derby. So I'd seen a lot of Gary Rowett on the TV, you know, on the local TV.
Yeah.
And interviews pre-game, after games. And I rate him because he's very methodical in his approach, isn't he? Yes. And I thought before the second that Millwall appointed that he was a good appointment, and I still do think that at the moment. I know there are a few people that are umming and ahhing whether he's the right man, but if I was in charge, I would stick with it and keep going with it. But that's just my opinion.
I mean, it's been a strange season with the COVID. Obviously, you know. About a year and a half since I was last at a football match now, I suppose. In fact, it had just been the week before that Forest game. I think we played Bristol City the last time I set foot in a football stadium. And we've had a lot of injuries, and some are saying that his football is perhaps a little bit defensively minded. I think you're right. I think Gary Rowett, there's two things I like about him. One, he gets results, and you know, we're sitting 10th in the table at the moment, which is no mean achievement given the injury list that we've had all season. And secondly, he's not swayed by public opinion. There was an interview that I saw today, actually, Steve. I can't remember how he put it, but it's something along the lines, if players aren't good enough, no matter what the you know, the kind of Twitter audience thinks, if the players aren't good enough, he's not going to field them. And that's a fairly strong character. And, you know, you need to be that to be a football manager, especially at the Den. But I admire that in a way. Others might call it arrogant, but I think that's strength of character.
Yeah. I think you've always got to look, who else is available? Who do we as a club think that we can attract, afford?
Not many.
At our team. And change is not always good. Not so just got rid of Neil Ardley, who's, you know, a very London-based manager.
Yeah.
We were going well under him. I thought we were going well, but we weren't top. That was the problem. We weren't top. And I think a lot of people think that we're Notts County, we should be top. And that's not so, because we are now a National League team. We're firmly a National League team. We've got no right to be at the top at all. And they've got rid of him. I think he'd lost something like, I think it was two in the last 11 or something like that. I don't think he'd even lost this year. And they got rid of him. They've got another bloke in. And he's lost 4 out of 6, I think it is, or something ridiculous already. And we're now out of the playoff spots now.
Yeah, just looking at the table, Steve, you're sitting in 8th, just above Bromley. Well, the 52 points, Chesterfield are in the 7th. That's the playoff zone, isn't it? 4-7.
We'll be doing very well to get back into the playoff zone, the way we're playing.
Really?
Really. Yeah, so it'll be 2 years at low league level. And the longer you stay there, the more deeply rooted you become a National League team with you. You can only approach, you know, get National League players to come and play for you. Now, at least the first season down, you've got some league players left, but gradually they drift away.
Yeah,
I think we're National League standard now.
It's going to be one of my questions, actually. I mean, you kind of answered it there to a degree, Steve. I mean, how do you find the National League? I mean, there's National League being Notts County, and then there's National League being Bromley. You know, they've come from the Southern Leagues, and they've never been in the Football League. So there's a kind of like a non-league kind of zone that they're in. Sutton United, I think, top.
Yeah.
Well, Hartlepool are top, but Sutton look like they may well be champions. And
that's
a massive, massive achievement. But Notts County, with its FA Cup historic win and trophies over time, I would imagine it feels like you've fallen far. Does it feel that way in terms of the football?
It does. I mean, with the day we went down at, so we were away at Swindon and we got absolutely thrashed, and we needed to win and we needed other people to lose as well, and we got thrashed.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Again, some YouTube videos, we were singing non-stop for the last 15 minutes, sort of in defiance, really. But I've never seen so many people so upset at a football match.
Mm.
And you leave. And now, do I like the non-league experience?
It's probably the wrong way to put it. I mean, I don't think you can like it. I mean,
there's sort of two camps, Nick. Some people are enjoying it because they've got some new grounds to visit and new towns to go to, new weekends away, and they're liking it.
But
I liked following a league team. It's as simple as that. And for me, it's probably the worst thing that's ever happened to my team. I don't like it at all. I don't like it.
No. I know what you mean. I mean, for some people, a trip to Solihull Moors would tick some kind of box.
Yeah. I'm trying not to say we don't deserve to be there, because it sounds a bit disrespectful for people that support like Sutton and Bromley. It's like, oh, he thinks he's better than us. Mm. But you know, I don't like being in that division, not at all.
It's more, I suppose, it's the should be better than this. It's that's the dig, isn't it? That's the hard thing to take. Season's not over, Steve. Notts County are eighth. I know you say you do well to get in the playoffs. There is still something to play for this season. For Notts.
Mm.
You don't fancy their chances, or do you, how do you see?
No. I think even if we get into the playoffs,
I'm trying to offer you some hope here, mate. I'm trying to lift you.
I'm a glass half empty sort of.
He's on the beer. He's on the sauce. Oh no.
No, I don't think we're going to do it. Not this season. Not this season. Not with the manager they brought in. I think they've got the wrong person. I hope he proves me wrong.
Just to close us, it's been a great conversation. We mentioned Juventus and their black and white cards. Did you go to the Italian game?
I should have gone, Nick. I should have gone.
Oh, mate.
I know it's coming up, and I never asked my wife, because I thought there's no way she's going to sign me pass out for this. The whole trip was going to cost about £800-900.
Yeah, it would have been a big one, wouldn't it? Yeah,
I priced it up. And it got to the evening of the game, about 7:30, and it was live on Sky or BT Sport, one of them.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I'm going to go in the kitchen and watch Notts.
Yeah,
you know, she was watching something on telly. She says, oh, they're playing. And she says, Juventus. She says, Juventus? They're playing Juventus. And she went, well, why didn't you go? And I says, there's no point saying that to me 10 minutes before kickoff. I haven't got time to get there. So I should have asked. So if Millwall ever get a top tie away, make sure you ask at least.
I'll give you a shout now. I'll call your wife for you next time, man. He's got to come.
Yeah.
I can't imagine when we're going to get anywhere near Europe again, Steve, to be absolutely honest with you, mate. But it's nice to dream of it, isn't it? Steve, it's been wonderful talking about these things. It'd be great to catch up at some point once life's back to normal. And I do intend to do that Meadow Lane trip at some stage. But for now, wonderful conversation with Steve Sanders, Notts County and Millwall. What a great combination. And England. Let's get them in the room.
Yeah.
Big thank you to you, mate. Arrivederci, dear listeners. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Acton Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci, Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?
3. Is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely their fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. That means more comfort and less baggage. Try the Superlight Tree Runner with a cushy foam midsole and breathable eucalyptus fiber upper. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. So, what can you do in a Superlight shoe? what can't you do is the better question. And because they're super packable, the real question is, where are you taking them? Experience how Allbirds redefines comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's ALLBIRDS.com, code SUPER24.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit a million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.